minute, wait a minute. Stop the presses. Folks, we might actually make some news up in health today. Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Always on air and always online at CrusadeChannel.com. Asking the question, today.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. Poop's about to get real, my friends. Telephone number, if you'd like to call the program, be a great day for you to do so. Call me at 844-527-8723. Email me directly. My email address, same as it ever was. KingDude, KingDude at MikeChurch.com. Official website for all things me. Online at MikeChurch.com. Today's Pile O Prep is a doozer. A hum-dinging doozer. Check it out at MikeChurch.com. I'm going to take some of it and post it on the Acting All Crusadery blog. I just didn't have time to do it. Long day yesterday. I'll give you some updates in just a moment. Chat room is open. We got up to 40 chatters yesterday on a Monday. That just doesn't happen around here. So thanks to all of you, especially you new folks that had been popping into the chat room and saying hello. Keep doing that. You'll make new friends and you'll influence people, as Dale Carnegie once said. CrusadeChannel.com/chat. All right, folks, I need to get this going because we got a lot to do. Laugh it up. Laugh it up, fuzzball. Maybe you could do the signal service of grabbing those two graphics from the cloud and putting them in the chat room so peeps can see what I'm talking about. Why not? We need to take a day off to do Maggie O'Connell tech support because her computer's got all kind of issues. I can fix
it. Wait. You made it sound like Maggie O'Connell has a problem with tech. It's my computer.
No, I understand that. I said we need to have a day off so we can put your computer into the shop. Okay. I'm going to load a couple images up into the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat that may take a couple minutes to get them because I just made them. They're on Twitter. One mistake and we'll kill you. Follow me on the Twitter at TheKingDude. So something fishy is going on here, and something fishy has been going on. As the Ukraine gate controversy continues to unfold in front of our very eyes and ears, it should be becoming more apparent to anyone that's watching this that the media industrial complex and the deep state think they have. Look, they got this one. We got this gal, Nazi Pelosi, Trump's going down. It's going to happen this time. Fat Jerry's going to bring it to a vote with Nancy Pelosi. There's no way he's worming his way out of this one, they say. Okay, so image number one in the chat room, this is also in today's pile of prep, is a screenshot of what the infamous now May the 24th, 2018, ICIG report, the reporting form looked like. So this is what it looked, if you're in the chat room, you could see it. That's what it looked like. The yellow was added by me. The red text was added by me. This is the May 24th, 2018 ICIG whistleblower form that states the ICIG cannot even transmit secondhand knowledge of wrongdoing. Not only could they not accept it, even if they did, they couldn't transmit it. Now, this is from the form. Now, yesterday in the press release, they deny this part of the law. They said, no. We can Fleetwood Mac this all the time. We down, 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 secondhand news. We get secondhand news this all the time. If you heard it from the shoeshine boy in the bathroom, and he heard it through a stall from some guy that was, you know, having a little intestinal issue that morning, you can submit it. We want everybody to be able to submit. That's not what that form says. So there's a couple of things going on here that I will do my best, because some of them are visual, so I'll do my best to try and explain them. Okay, so this is the May 24, 2018 ICIG whistleblower form. Says blah, blah, blah. You see them. In yellow, I've underlined the pertinent sentences in the form. Now, this is from, you can see the form number at the top, ICIG, ICWSP, Urgent Concern Disclosure Form, page number 2. You can see all that. That is from the actual form that was allegedly or supposedly used by the now infamous anonymous whistleblower. Now, if you read that text on that form, it says what I just told you. You cannot, they can't accept second-hand news. That's what that says. Okay. Now, graphic number 2. Now, these are their forms, not mine. Graphic number 2. This is the statement. This is from the summary that was put out yesterday. I could show you on YouTube in a very lengthy 4-page long press release by the ICIG, the DNI, Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, news release. Also, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community statement on processing a whistleblower complaint, September 30th, 2019. So this was in response to the query that was made by Senator Lindsey Graham, which was instigated by the reporting of one of the founders of the Federalist, Sean Davis. Now, Sean has an update to his earlier reporting. We'll get into that in just a minute. Most people over at the Federalist don't like me for some reason, but I hope they won't let that stop them from having one of them look at the graphics that we made, because someone that has an online publishing, not a radio station. I mean, we have radio news here, and we'll use this as news. We're breaking news right now. Someone has an online publishing house needs to put this out. Now, I published it, but I didn't get the chance to write the entire narrative. I'm going to give you the audio version of it. Okay, so what are we looking at here? Look at graphic image number 2. This is from the summary that I hold here that was put out yesterday, Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community Statement on Processing a Whistleblower Complaint. Let's go to the 4th page. If you go to the 4th page, the last page, they have their own summary of the entire sordid affair. Now, they admit, they've now had to admit, yeah, we changed the form. They've also admitted or refused to state when. No one knows. So you still don't know when the infamous form was changed. Now, this is totally relevant to this entire debacle here, this entire scandal. So my contention from yesterday, I have 2 contentions. Now, it looks like they may have quashed one of them. And again, those weren't statements. Those were contentions. There's 2 propositions. One, if they're going to try to say that whistleblower dude used the new form, and he used it after July the 25th, which is the date the phone call was made, then it should be inadmissible. Because the old form clearly states you had to have heard it. You couldn't have overheard it. Now, my contention number 1, I actually misspoke, has now been proven. They admit, or they say, no, he used the new form. Okay. Well, there's another possibility here. How could he use the new form? It was August the 12th. You guys didn't publish it to September the 24th. How on earth could he possibly have used a new form that didn't exist? Don't you have to put these things in the Federal Register or something? Don't you have to, aren't there dates? Don't these things have to be approved? How on earth is this guy that high ranking inside his agency? He's got his own damn forums? Jeff O. Jeff notes in the chat room that official forums have published dates. Thank you. Yes, they do. So we now, you're going to have to walk with me on this one. Walk this way. We know the date. The original form was changed in 2018. We know it. It was May the 24th, 2018 is the date it was published. And in this report that they, this statement that they issued yesterday, they confirm what Sean Davis is reporting basically. Yes, May 24th, 2018, there was a form. Yes, there was a revision. That's the form that was being used up until we got this new guy that came in and he went, man, you guys' forms stink. We need to fix these forms. Okay. So they now claim that three forms have been changed and fixed and that they're so much better and, you know, unicorns and gumdrops and rainbows and sugar plums and what have you are going to fall out of the sky now that the form has been changed. But their dates don't match. Now, I don't know why Mike Church has to do this and why Woodward and Bernstein haven't already figured this out. This whole thing stinks. And using their own evidence, I'm going to show you that it stinks. Okay. Let's go back to the chat room, and let's go to the form in question here that I just uploaded. You'll see my red text at the bottom. It says, this is the ICIG summary released 30 September 2019. That's their words. Now, all I do is take a screenshot of it. That's what they said, okay? This is their summary of form. This, we should change this from a Ukraine gate to form gate. This is ICIG form gate. Now, what does the summary say? I'll read it to you. Quote, in summary, regarding the instant matter, the whistleblower submitted the appropriate disclosure of urgent concern form that was in effect as of August 12, 2019, and has been used by the ICIG since May 24th, 2018. Okay, now what does that say? That says that the original whistleblower complaint form that was submitted was the form from May of 2018. Everyone with me? What does the form from May of 2018 say? I'm going to quote, in order to find an urgent concern credible, the ICIG must be in possession of reliable first-hand information. The ICIG cannot transmit information via the ICWPA, that's the form we're talking about, well, that's the act, actually, based on an employer's secondhand knowledge of wrongdoing. This includes information received from another person, such as when a fellow employee informs you that he, she witnessed some type of wrongdoing. Anyone with firsthand knowledge of the allegations may file a disclosure in writing directly with the ICIG. Similarly, speculation about the existence of wrongdoing does not provide sufficient legal basis to meet the statutory requirements of the ICWPA. Okay, we're all good so far. If you think that wrongdoing took place but can provide nothing more than secondhand or unsubstantiated assertions, ICIG will not be able to process the complaint or information for submission as an ICWPA. Case closed. Now, follow me here. That's what the May 24th, 2018 form says. Now, I ask the audience a question. Is there any doubt in your mind based on what you just heard? And if you're in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat, or if you're following me on Twitter, one mistake will kill you, or on my website, mikechurch.com, you can read it as well, today's pile of prep. Is there any doubt? There can be no doubt whatsoever. whatsoever that the May 24th, 2018, 2018 ICIG form to submit a whistleblower complaint and for it to be credible could only contain what? You had to be the witness to the event. Could not contain an allegation, could not contain secondhand news. It could not contain anything other than you personally having witnessed it. If you had knowledge of it and you saw it and you want to file a complaint, you can do so. That's what the form says. It even says, if you didn't see it yourself and all you have is secondhand knowledge, we cannot transmit that as a whistleblower. We can't validate that and make it credible. We can't make that credible, so we can't send it. Okay, that's what it says. Fast forward to yesterday. They say now, in their own words, I'm going to tie the two together. We'll make this link as crystal clear as possible. The Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community news release. I'm reading from there. This is not my work again. All I did was just put two and two together. In summary, now this is about the Ukraine gate complaint here, okay? This whole thing should be thrown out today. Should be no, and they should, the Attorney General ought to begin an investigation immediately of these clowns here. There's something going on here. This is a hit job on the President of the United States. In summary, regarding the instant matter, the whistleblower submitted the appropriate disclosure of urgent concern form that was in effect as of August the 12th, 2019, and had been used by the ICG since May 24, 2018. All right, we just proved that that form did not allow for secondhand news, right? Everyone in agreement? Then they go on to say, they go and hang themselves. The whistleblower stated on that form that he or she possessed both firsthand and other information. The ICIG reviewed the information provided as well as other information gathered and determined the complaint was both urgent and that it appeared credible. Well, that can't possibly be. How do we know that? Well, hold on, I'll tell you. From yesterday. I got so many stories here in the old pile of prep. Yesterday's Mondays are blue. Yes, Monday's blue. Remember yesterday I was reading to you from the actual complaint. I think this is it. Yes, here we go. Okay. What was on the form? What did the whistleblower allege? Now, this is from the complaint that was sent to little Adam Schiff. Let me read it to you. You ready? Now, I'm going to prove to you that this could not possibly have been submitted on August the 12th using the May 2018 form. Couldn't have been. There's no way. Because it doesn't have any firsthand information on it. This is the entirety of the allegation. Are you ready? If you're driving, pull over. You're standing, sit down. The Ukraine call, this is a Sean Davis report of this, at the Federalist. The Ukraine call complaint against Trump is riddled with evidence directly witnessed by the complaint, but with repeated references to what anonymous officials allegedly told the complainant. Here's what he wrote. Now, again, you have to have firsthand knowledge. It's the only way this flies. I'm going to read them to you in order. I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials. Officials have informed me. Officials with direct knowledge of the call informed me. The White House officials who told me this information. I was told by White House officials. The officials I spoke with. I was told that a State Department official. I learned from multiple U.S. officials. One White House official described this act. Based on multiple readouts of these meetings recounted to me. I also learned from multiple U.S. officials. The U.S. officials characterized this meeting. Multiple U.S. officials told me. I learned from U.S. officials. I also learned from a U.S. official. Several U.S. officials told me. I heard from multiple U.S. officials and multiple U.S. officials have told me. Now, remember, the May 24, 2018 form clearly states you have to have direct knowledge. From the same submission, quote, I was not a direct witness to most of the events characterized in the document. Close quote. I was not a direct witness. What the hell is going on here, folks? What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Now, it's one of two things. Either A, the cover-up is after the fact. Little Adam Schiff had this form submitted to him, supposedly, in August. And he went, eh, nothing to see here. I can't accept this. There's no credible information in it. But then, wait a minute. All of a sudden, we have a different form that we're dealing with. And now the form can be in compliance with the act. And the act, because allegedly, according to the intelligence agency in question here, says, no. The act never said we had to have direct intel. It said we had, you could have secondhand news here. I haven't read the act, so I don't know if that's what it says. I'm just taking what they've written here. How can this be possible? Unless the same complaint, after having been viewed and rejected, a new form was made. The second checkbox is the smoking gun here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you have to look at my graphics. On the original form, there is no checkbox. You sign it at the end and swear that you're telling the truth. There's no checkbox. You don't have an option here. On the new form, there are two boxes. One says, I have direct knowledge of this incident. The other says, I have secondhand knowledge of this. You can check both if they apply. The form that's now before Congress is the second form with the check boxes on it. Now, I want to know what the hell has happened here, because these people say that the form should be the 2018 form. It doesn't have two checkboxes on it. Sean Davis at the Federal has looked at it. There aren't two checkboxes on it. It's not even a checkbox. There's a checkbox basically at the end that says, I acknowledge that this is my testimony. I'm swearing this out. This is the truth, right? There aren't two checkboxes. It can't be this form. It's an impossibility. Yet now you had the agency doubling down and basically going, oh, no, the box, it had two forms on it, but it was the 2018 form. Well, that can't possibly be true. So what in the hell is happening here? Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. When they go to start turning evidence in, they're going to have a problem here. Fat Jerry and Little Adam are going to have a problem in this impeachment hearing, because they had to turn all these documents over and make them part of the congressional record as part of the case against Trump. How are you going to turn a form in that you know to be bogus? I mean, you're setting yourself up to be, you fired yourself. You're setting yourself up to be impeached. Is this the form that, okay, this is what, okay, so Maggie O'Connell has just put into the official chat room record the complete form that I'm reading you from. Well, ladies and gentlemen, understand this, and Ukraine gate should be ICIG form gate. They have to submit this as documentary evidence. Okay, this is the form. The guy signed it. I also want to know, isn't it usually customary that when you, we have our legal in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. Isn't it usually customary that when you swear out an affidavit or something? I know when I used to have to do affidavits for the radio station to say, oh yeah, we ran these ads, or I was the board op and I ran those commercials. Isn't it customary that you have to sign these things? Why do they, when you go to buy a house, why do you sign? What's the purpose of a signature? What is your signature? It's an oath. Basically, it's an oath saying, I am me, Mike Church. She's Maggie O'Connell. I've read this document here. I agree to it. I agree to the terms. It is an agreement. It is a contract. It is a compact, whatever it may be. I, by my signature, am attesting that I've read it, and I concur. That's why you sign it. Wouldn't this guy or gal had to have signed this thing? How are you going to turn it in with his signature redacted? When I'm supposed to take little Adam Schiff's word for it? I'm supposed to take the deep state's word for it? You just put a big giant black box over it? How do we know that there's a signature there? How do you even know this person exists? Do you remember back in the early 90s, people were running scams and people that were selling software through magazines and what have you, and you'd never get the software, and they called it vaporware, right? You know, you buy this piece of software, and you end up become the greatest graphic artist in the world, or whatever the case may be, and they called it vaporware. It didn't exist. This is a vapor form. Is our call-in line telephone number, 844-5-CRUSADE. Now listen to this. In 2018, the ICIG formed a new Center for Protected Disclosures, which has as one of its primary functions to process complaints from whistleblowers under the ICWPA. In early 2019, the ICIG hired a new hotline program manager. Oh boy, a new bureaucrat. Yeah, I bought me a house in Loudoun County for $750,000. I got me a government job, baby. The hotline program manager is part of the Center for Protected Disclosures to oversee the ICIG's hotline. In June of 2019, the newly hired director for the Center for Protected Disclosures entered on duty. Okay, I have a question. You guys are supposed to be so detailed. You're an intelligence agency. You deal in specifics. By definition, you deal in specifics. When in June? 5th? 28th? When? You know, this whole thing is murky and it stinks. They want to sit there and cherry pick commas and semicolons and words that Trump used. And, well, if you rearrange it, if you put the verb in front of the subject, then it's totally criminal. Well, he didn't say it with the verb in front of the subject. Thus, the Center for Protected Disclosures has been reviewing the form. Now, they know that this form is a smoking gun, and this document is evidence of that. This is what is known as, Shannon, I don't know how they say it in courtrooms today, but if you have young people riding along with you, you may want to exercise just a little bit of discretion. I'll give you a couple of seconds. This is a CYA. This is a cover your ass memo right here. That's all this is. This is, ruh-roh, Raggy. We've been busted. Now, I want you to consider that none of this happens if the Federalist.com's Sean Davis, with the help of a researcher dude named Stephen McIntyre, if McIntyre, you know, is one of these uber geeks that just digests this kind of stuff, McIntyre goes, well, why don't we look and see, let's look at the nuts and bolts of this, and let's see if they got their forms correct. So I don't know what this, I believe this would be called, Shannon, in legal terms, this would be called due diligence. Let's make sure. Why don't we go back and make sure the little Adam Schiff and the gang here, they're in this frame job. Let's go and make sure that, first thing, let's check and see if they dotted their I's and crossed their T's. Let's make sure that all their forms match, right? That they submitted the proper paperwork to the proper agencies using the proper forms and the proper terminology, et cetera, right? So Stephen McIntyre goes, well, wait a minute. The forms don't match. And then he starts looking a little deeper, going, wait a minute. They got a new form on their site. They just uploaded it 2 days before all hell broke loose. Now they're claiming that that's the form the guy signed. Well, as I just proved to you, he can't, by their own admission, it's not the form the guy signed. This is a slam dunk. This should be over. Say whatever you want about whatever the contents of the call with Trump. It's not illegal. By the way, where do you hear the biggest bombshell of all today? There's a treaty twixt Ukraine and the United States that's still in effect. Bill Clinton put it on the books. The Senate ratified it in 2000. Oh, wait till you hear what's in it. Now back to the story here. Thus, the Center for Protected Disclosures has been reviewing the forms provided to whistleblowers who wish to report information with respect to an urgent concern to the Congressional Intelligence Committees. Okay, now what are they doing? Passing bucks and lying. We got new peeps that came in here. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and need that TPS report. Right. We got new peeps that came in here. They're smarter. They're smarter. They're faster. They're better than the old geezers that were here. And they saw that these forms weren't as good as they could be. They weren't up to speed. So they set about an editing process to fix the forms. Of course, happens every day, right? In the process of reviewing and clarifying these forms, and in response to recent press inquiries regarding the instant whistleblower complaint, the ICIG understood that certain language in those forms, and more specifically, the informational materials accompanying the forms, could be read incorrectly as suggesting that whistleblowers must possess firsthand information in order to file an urgent concern complaint with the Congressional Intelligence Committee. This is like an admission of guilt here. Now, what does that say in lawyer speak? That says that, okay, you got us. Yeah, the old form required firsthand knowledge of the incident. Firsthand knowledge. That was wrong. Now, if you read this entire four-page document, what else you'll find is that whoever wrote this goes like, yeah, but the act, the actual ICWPA, the act does not require firsthand knowledge. So what they're saying is that it doesn't matter what form was used. We can take Fleetwood Mac secondhand news and anyone can submit a complaint. Well, how come previous to this guy, no one ever did and the ICIG never accepted one? Why would they put something on their form that was not in the act that was passed by Congress? I'm telling you, folks, this whole thing is a damn setup from the get-go, and they didn't. You know, isn't this just so typical of big, out-of-control, bloated bureaucracy? Just they don't know what the hell they're doing. And then, look, they think everyone is just as stupid as they are. They think we just about to outwalking right out here. They actually think that Trump is an oaf. They think that you and I are oafs. Somebody called me an oaf yesterday. Well, I didn't say oaf, but he basically said oaf. So If I'm a Sharpie like these guys over at the Federalist, I write an entire expose at this. If the Washington Compost wants to win a Pulitzer, start with this document right here. You want to win a Pulitzer Prize? I have it in my hand. Do you remember last year around this time with the whole Kavanaugh thing when we were digging deep into this and we were finding out the evidentiary trail that Christine Blasey Ford was going after Brett Kavanaugh before he was even nominated, that she had let it be known that he did not belong on the SCOTUS because she knew that he was a pro-lifer and that he needed to be presented. She supposedly saw his name on a shortlist. You remember this? We were going through this, and I was saying, like, if somebody wants to win a Pulitzer, write a story about this. Make this a front-page news story, do it in a couple of parts, put a team of reporters on it, like they put bureaucrat investigators on Trump, and get to the bottom of it, and the story will shock the world. It'll blow the lid off the alleged story of serial molester and rapist Brett Kavanaugh. Well, of course, that's not Kavanaugh, and we now know this. Now, Molly Hemingway did put a book out, and she did do some of the journalism that I'm speaking about. So somebody over there maybe at the Federalist will do this. Folks, this is just this is a data gold mine here, man. If you want to now that they know that we're onto them, or that some of us are onto them, they'll start destroying stuff. You know, stuff's just going to go missing and deleted. Oops. Ooh, we got a new guy over there in policy. Yeah, he didn't mean to hit the delete button, but he did. Again, Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Committee news release, September 30, 2019, Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community statement on processing of whistleblower complaints. Someone is going to use this and going to do a takedown with this, okay? This thing is just riddled with contradictions. And if a stupid news talk radio host like me can figure it out, why can't all the adult hero reporters figure it out? Okay, that's a warm up act. Look, that's just what was on the top of my mind. That's the warm up act. We haven't even gotten into the meat and taters yet. Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. My friend Dwayne Stovall. Running for the United States Senate against John Cornyn in Texas next hour. Many of you know, you remember Dwayne. He ran in 2014, got about 150-some-odd thousand votes, ran a great campaign. We were all very proud of him, very proud to have endorsed him. He made his announcement here on the Mike Church Show on the Patriot Channel. Dwayne showing his hat in the ring. He said, Mike, I think I can win this one, Mike. I think I got it. I think I can do it. I said, okay, buddy. Why don't you come on the show and let's talk about it. So Dwayne Stovall with us. I want to take you to yesterday. Senator Lindsey Graham was asked a question about what we're talking about ICIG Forum Gate, Ukraine Gate. And Lindsey Graham dropped the following bomb.
Barr should be talking to Australia. He should be talking to Italy. He should be talking to the UK to find out if their intelligence services work with our intelligence services improperly to open up a counterintelligence investigation of Trump's campaign. If he's not doing that, he's not doing his job. So I'm going to write a letter to all three countries and asking them to cooperate with Barr. Now, this is a letter sent by my Democratic colleagues in May of 2018 to the Ukraine saying that if you don't cooperate with the Mueller investigation, we're going to stop our aid. It's okay to cooperate with Mueller to get Trump, but it's not okay to cooperate with Barr to find out if Trump was a victim of an out-of-control intelligence operation. We're not going to have a country like that.
What? Now, did you catch that? Who were the three senators that signed the letter? I have to find it in the pile of prep. I know Schumer's one of them. Isn't that extortion? Isn't that using the government of the United States to have as your own political force? Bernie Sanders thundered, or Schumer thundered. You're sending letters to foreign governments. You're not in foreign policy. You're in the Senate. You can make treaties. You can help the president with some advice and consent make treaties. You don't make foreign policy. What are you guys doing writing letters to foreign heads of state? Isn't there a rule against that somewhere? What were they saying? Hey, we got this Mueller guy who's going to impeach the president when he does, because you're going to give us the info, because we know that Trump colluded with the Russians. He didn't. But you guys are holding it, so give him the info. When you read that letter is specific that this is an investigation that is being done against the president of the United States. So it's okay to name the president and to go on fishing expeditions in foreign governments, try to get any information you want. But if some of that investigation, which is then produced another investigation, and going, okay, well, who was the first people that were leaking the intelligence? If that investigation asks the same question, and then the chief executive of all those investigations, which the president is, if he asks a question about it, all of a sudden now, He's blackmailing countries. There's a quid pro quo, even though there's, as they call it, even though there is none contained. James Howard Kunstler put this up last night. Someone in Impeachmentville is not paying attention. Of course, diverting the rubes is exactly the point of the CIA's, the latest CIA operation to negate the 2016 election. Has nobody noticed that there is a treaty between Ukraine and the United States signed at Kiev in 1998 and ratified by the United States Senate in 2000? Okay, Mike, what's the treaty? Why do I care? It's an agreement on, and listen, I'm going to quote it to you, mutual legal assistance in criminal matters, close quote. And then Kunstler says, here, read the cover letter yourself. What part of the following do Nazi Pelosi and the news media not understand? This is the letter attached to the treaty. Quote, the treaty is self-executing. Okay, what does that mean? That means as soon as they ratified it, it went into effect. It provides for a broad range of cooperation in criminal matters. Mutual assistance available under the treaty includes, now wait till you hear this, taking of testimony or statements of persons, providing documents, records, and articles of evidence, serving documents, locating or identifying persons, transferring persons in custody for testimony or other purposes. This is basically what's known in legal circles as basically a reciprocity agreement here. What's a reciprocity agreement? We'll acknowledge some of your laws and help you enforce them if your people break them and they're here. You acknowledge some of our laws and help us enforce them if some of our people break them and they're there. That's, I know I'm oversimplifying it, and that's not a legal definition, because you can also have a reciprocity law that says a driver's license from Louisiana is valid to be used in Texas. That's also a reciprocity agreement. Big legal terms here. Locating or identifying persons, transferring persons in custody for testimony or other purposes, executing requests for searches and seizures. What did Trump ask the president of Ukraine? Hey, can I ask you to check up on an investigation that you guys had already had going since 2016, and there's something with Biden's son. This whole thing sounds. What did Trump say? This whole thing sounds bad. You better believe it stinks. Where do you hear the rest? Now, assisting in proceedings related to restraint, confiscation, forfeiture of assets, restitution, and collection of fines, and any other form of assistance not provided by the laws of the requested state. Kunstler, who's a lawyer, how does this not permit Trump asking the president of Ukraine for assistance, that's directly from the treaty, in criminal matters arising out of collusion with Russia, as specified within the scope of Robert Mueller's special prosecutor activities? For instance, the matter of CrowdStrike. The cybersecurity forum was co-founded by Russian expat Dmitry Alperovich, who also happens to be a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, an anti-Russian think tank funded by Ukrainian billionaire Viktor Pinchuk, who donated at least $25 million to the Clinton Foundation before the 2016 election. CrowdStrike was the company that examined the supposedly hacked DNC servers while somebody in the Obama administration prevented the FBI from ever seeing them. Perhaps under the year 2000 treaty, Trump was within his rights to ask the new president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, for assistance on that. And also the question of former Vice President Joe Biden's levering USA to Ukraine in his demand to fire the prosecutor investigating the company, Burisma Holdings, had just happened to hire his son, Hunter, to a $64,000 a month seat on the board of directors. And then Kunstler says the foregoing ought to be self-evident. Speaking of failures to pay attention, Director of National Security Joseph McGuire testified in Little Adam Schiff's House Intel Committee last Thursday that the whistleblower and his or her allies in the intelligence community who fomented the latest crisis acted in good faith. Admiral McGuire omitted to mention that the IC's whistleblower complaint rules were surreptitiously changed sometime around August 2019. What I just told you. Urgent matters complaints where it formerly had been prohibited. Now there is yet another new bombshell. Now listen to this. Out of the CBS 60 Minutes. Reported by Scott Pelley on Sunday night. Alleging that the whistleblower had been placed under federal protection due to threats made against him or her. Now, no one even knows who this clown is. And then you have 60 Minutes out there saying that he's with Henry Hill from Goodfellas in the witness protection program. My, oh, my. Can these people get any more crooked or corrupt here? Now, listen. We're to infer that the whistleblower is in a safe space, perhaps hiding out in the CIA's diversity and inclusion offices. Only, and he drops a little humor in here, with some teddy bears, crayons, and Chips Ahoy to keep the heebie-jeebies away. One of the whistleblower's own lawyers, Mark S. Zaid, released a letter today saying that the 60 Minutes report was not accurate and misinterpreted the contents of our letter. Zaid added in a tweet that CBS was, quote, literally making stuff up, close quote. Well, that CBS and the whistleblower's pro bono lawyers slugged that one out in some safe space. More to the point, how long do you suppose the charade of protecting the whistleblower's identity will go on? Now, I asked this question yesterday, and I'm asking it again today. If these boobs are successful, if these Democrats are successful in getting this thing in front of the whole House, voting to impeach and then sending it to the Senate, which Mitch McConnell says under current rules he has no choice but to have an impeachment trial, there in the impeachment trial, Trump gets to confront the witness against him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that this is whistleblower kryptonite for this clown to actually have to show up like Christine blah-da-blah-da-blah-da-blah-da at Ford and have to make all this stuff up in real time. Oh, hell, for all we know, it is Christine blah-da-blah-da-blah-da at Ford. Yeah, maybe that's where she's been hiding out at the ICIG. Now, by the way, who carries out assassinations in the federal government? The CIA. Isn't the whistleblower a CIA? What, has he gone rogue now? Is this a bad Denzel Washington movie? Is Gene Hackman hiding around the corner somewhere? Come here, son. Come here, son. We got to get you back undercover. You remember that one? What was that? The Enemy of the State, I think? It's almost as though Tom Clancy is writing this stuff. It's so far-fetched. Wait a minute. I'm just getting warmed up here. Former Congressman Ron Paul X on his website yesterday. Impeachment or CIA coup? Now, I wish Junk Bond was not in Vietnam because I'd asked Junk Bond to come on and help me explain this. Iran, 1958, Mossadegh. Who took him out? CIA. What happened? The Shah was dropped in there. Iran's been, well, not that Iran wasn't screwed up before, but that totally screwed up. You know, they had an electoral democracy in Iran. They elected Mossadegh. And the CIA went, yeah, we don't like him. He's not going to be friends with our buddies at British Petroleum, and we got to get rid of him. So they did. 1962, South Vietnam, Ngo Dinh Vinh, the democratically elected, devout, daily mass attending Catholic, Ngo Dinh Vinh, assassinated by who? The CIA. My friend Jeffrey Shaw wrote an entire book about it. We used to interview with Jeffrey on it. It's called The Lost Mandate of Heaven. What's it about? The CIA coup to assassinate another leader. And look, Junk Bond has a show on it. This stuff goes on for 70 years. Who took out Muammar Gaddafi? The CIA. Who took out Saddam Hussein and told the Republican guards where to find him? The CIA. I mentioned Tom Clancy earlier. It's totally conceivable to me that Tom Clancy could write a novel and could write a novel just like this with the CIA, not assassinating, murdering a president, but destroying him internally by impeachment. Ron Paul. You don't need to be a supporter of Trump to be concerned about the efforts to remove him from office. Then he gives the rundown of what's going on here. Ron Paul, is this about politics? Yes, but there may be more to it than that. It may appear that the Democrat Party, furious over Slick Hillary's 2016 loss, emphasis mine, is the driving force behind this ongoing attempt to remove Donald Trump from office. But at every turn, we see the fingerprints of the CIA and its allies in the deep state. You know what they call people like me and like Congressman Paul that float things out? We're InfoWars now. Right? We're nothing better than Alex Jones. We're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. We're out there going, but folks, a conspiracy is actually happening. We've got the evidence right here in front of us. You don't have to go looking for black helicopters circling your house. Or, you know, taking the lampshades off to see if you got monitoring devices. They don't need those anymore. They've got our phones. Now, I had forgotten about this, but Congressman Paul reminds me. Former CIA Director John Brennan accused President Trump of treason. Do you remember this? Remember? I remember. Brennan accused Trump of treason and, quote, of being in the pocket of Putin, close quote, for meeting with the Russian president in Helsinki and accepting his word that Russia did not meddle in the U.S. elections. To this day, there has not been any evidence presented that the Russian government did interfere. Brennan openly called on patriotic Republicans to act against this, quote, traitor. You remember this? Close quote. Brennan and his deep state counterparts, James Comey of the FBI, and former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. Do you remember when Clapper went up there and just lied about the NSA? And no one, why didn't they impeach Clapper back in the day? Do you remember the Mike Church show and several others saying, hey, man, this guy went up there and perjured himself about the NSA and what they knew and when they knew it? James Clapper launched an operation using what we now know is the fake Steele dossier to spy on the Trump presidential campaign and even attempt to entrap Trump campaign employees. Remember, they tried to get Don Jr. They said, hey, this guy's going to meet you in his hotel room. He's got dirt on Slick Hilly, and all you got to do is meet with him, and it'll give you the dirt. Of course, I don't want to recall the details because I don't know them all. Now we hear that the latest trigger for impeachment is a CIA officer assigned to the White House who filed a whistleblower complaint against the president over something he heard from someone else that the president said in a Ukraine phone call. Shockingly, according to multiple press reports, the rules for CIA whistleblowing were recently changed. See, we're all pursuing the same. We're on the right track here, folks. Congressman Paul, this all seems strange, doesn't it? As it turns out, the CIA whistleblower lurking around the White House got the important things wrong, and there was no quid pro quo discussed. The Democrats have suddenly come out and praise the whistleblowers. Yeah, do you remember when they used to be, that's wrong. That's not a credible witness. Senate Majority Chuck Schumer. Now, this is just the other day, last Friday, Schumer said this. Once warned, or last week, that, quote, if you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. Close quote. It's hard not to ask whether this is a genuine impeachment effort or a CIA coup. I have more. Yesterday, the new Tenochtitlan Times was out there floating a story that said that not only had Trump tried to blackmail, quid pro quo, the new president of Ukraine, but apparently, unbeknownst to all of us and anyone else, Trump is a serial quid pro quo extorter in chief. I mean, he does this stuff for fun on the weekends when he's hanging out at Mar-a-Lago. So the new Tenochtitlan runs a story yesterday saying that he tried to blackmail the Australian Prime Minister. All right. Corey Clark is here with your live news update.